7726.
Bad news at the pump. You might be paying a lot more gasoline prices, well over $3 in many areas across this great nation. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, coast to coast and everywhere in between. We like to say the nooks and the crannies. Boy, we've got a lot of interesting things that we're going to talk about, including in We Can Count Olympics. Somebody's watching them because the Olympics coverage is getting 7 of the top 8 Nielsen spots. So that means big numbers, not watching the other stations. In the meantime, some more layoffs in a couple of different organizations that could have some rip-roaring effects economically in the Southeast. And the rise in illegal immigration is back up again in the Southeast. Why in the Southeast? We'll dive into that. But first, coming up in this hour, we're going to let you hear what the Toyota president had to say. It was big-time testimony at a hearing on the Hill. Now, you know, we knew this was coming up, and what do you think Toyota is going to say when they're asked about the problem with the acceleration? It's going to be apologies galore, and then you're going to hear from victims. You already know how this movie ends. The thing you don't know is what the effects will be with consumers as far as buying Toyotas and going into the future, how quickly Toyota tries to nip all these problems, go through the recalls, and try to rebuild that brand name if it's taken a little bit of a nick. And it's so typical when there's a mistake, somebody gets up, they apologize, try to make excuses for why they didn't act faster. I mean, you could put almost anything or anybody or any product in this position and you'd get pretty much the same thing. When you're there in front of Congress and they're talking about why did this happen and what's the excuse? I mean, they were making so much money. Well, we grew too quickly in recent years. So because we were making a ton of money and we were killing the rest of the competition because, frankly, the American automakers made some big blunders, we took advantage. And as we just kept growing by leaps and bounds, we didn't have time to worry as much about the safety and the quality. He may as well have said that. But like I said, we're going to let you hear what he had to say, plus the Transportation Secretary, Ray LaHood, who just slammed Toyota. And we'll let you hear his thoughts on what they were really, really doing. In the meantime, here's a big one coming off of the CPAC convention in Washington. You know, we like to go to D.C. first and then trickle down from there. Ron Paul won the straw poll, as many of you know. Surprising, I think, some people, because of all the buzz over the Sarah Palins and the Newt Gingriches and even Mitt Romney. And Mitt Romney came in second in that straw poll and pretty much had his way with the jokes and with the people at the convention. They embraced Romney, and that's not a surprise. It's been like that whenever he's gone. So now Mitt Romney turns around, and he's endorsing his former rival for the presidency on the Republican side last time around, John McCain, as he's fighting hard to keep his Senate seat. This is unusual for McCain, but he's in a little bit of trouble because he's got a huge challenger, a guy who actually did talk radio and did it pretty well. I heard him a couple of times when I was in Phoenix. He was on a station called KTAR. And now the former U.S. Congressman J.D. Hayworth is pushing hard to get that Senate seat. So McCain is facing an uphill battle in this one. And what Hayworth is doing is he's talking about McCain supporting big government spending and betraying conservative values with his support for immigration reform. He's especially hammering that because that's such a giant issue in Arizona, as one of the border states and a state that deals with drained resources, frankly, because of illegal immigration. So he's in the polls. They're pretty much almost neck and neck, depending on what county there you're talking about. Can you imagine John McCain losing his Senate seat? So that may be a little bit of a surprise compared to what I think will be some of the layups in the midterm elections as we get closer and closer to the point where I think some of the faces are going to turn, like Senator Harry Reid is another one who will be absolutely out in Nevada. I can't imagine he's going to be able to weather the storm. The polls have his challenger completely ahead, even if it's only by a few points. And then, of course, in the House races, with so much across the board up, there are a lot of fears in the Democratic Party that you're going to see a complete transformation because of the dissatisfaction around the country. I mean, that's a great question. A lot of you have been sending me emails about that. You can throw in your two cents. Do you really think we're going to see a dramatic difference in voting across the country with all these seats up when it comes time for Election Day? Are we going to see a lot of flips from Democrat to Republican, despite the fact of the edge that they had going in this year with President Obama? 800-259-5791. You can always throw in your two cents that way. Or, like I said, a lot of you have been hitting me on the email with that, and we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. Pretty much 2-1, almost all of you think it's inevitable, except in a few cases, that the seats will absolutely change. This would be like a hallelujah, and it's a weird thing to throw out here in the beginning, but I read this story from an English paper that I happened to be reading, and I read this story, and I'm sure the women in America would kill for this kind of a time off. 20 weeks full pay for maternity leave. And can you imagine that? So they voted, it's the Women's Rights Committee of the European Parliament, to make it compulsory for the employees in Europe to pay mothers the 20 weeks of full pay. What an effect that would have in a place like England, where the first 6 weeks of maternity leave are at 90% of the pay. So there has to be debated by the full parliament next month, and there's certainly opposition, excuse me, from member states before this becomes a law, but there's a good chance that they could pass this, excuse me, be cutting edge if they do that. Because in England especially, the rules give the pregnant women give them that time off with 6 weeks paid at 90% of the mother's average pay. Wow. So 20 weeks full pay. Mm. You know, in our current economic situation, as much as I think men and women should be able to have leave for babies, absolutely. But at the same time, when in the United States, especially with some of these small companies, can you imagine if the woman was a vital part of whatever was happening, and even the man, and you took them out of the rotation for that long, boy, and plus financially, can you imagine how many companies would have a hard time rowing the boat if that were law? But this is something that's been pushed for in the United States, more maternity time off and more pay for that too as well. So 20 weeks would be a dramatic difference there, and it'll make more people sit up, I think, and pay attention to that issue. Coming up on the flip side, speaking of economics and small businesses, what's happening lately on the markets? What do we think we're going to see with gold? We talked about it a little bit last week. Is gold going to settle down a little bit, or will we see it actually hit that 2,000 number that I think it actually will hit by the end of the year or the beginning of next year? Saul Albaum, financial guru, joins us on ATN. Stick around.
Healthy Hearts Club presents Heart and Body Extract. Supports clean, clear arteries, healthy blood pressure levels, healthy circulation and blood flow, regular heart rate and beat. What if you could avoid heart attacks? What if you could avoid emergency room visits? What if you could avoid surgery? How? With this Heart and Body Extract. 100% organic. No negative side effects. Guaranteed to work or your money back. Call now, 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or order online at heartandbody.com. Take the high road to a long and healthy life, 866-295-5305. or heartandbody.com.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. February 23rd, 2010. Gold opened this morning at $1,113. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,143.42, $571.71 for a half ounce, or $285.86 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,143.42, $571.71, and $285.86.
How is it that we the people grow the cotton, weave it into fabric, engrave the ink, embed the strips and fibers that protect it from counterfeit, then cart the money off to a privately owned bank to have it lent back to us at interest, forcing us to pay taxes to service the debt? Is this capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when he said a central bank issuing a public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar inside of a book that explains how the monetary system works. Call for your copy, 1-800-686-2233. Isn't it time to understand the system? Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Okay, so while GM is adding jobs in Ohio, Toyota is trying to save face and pull a mea culpa big time on the Hill over those acceleration problems and figuring out what they can do to alleviate the fears of the consumers. But as many people listening to this show know, so many make their livelihoods through Toyota in other ways, whether it's not necessarily just on the lot selling the cars and running those dealerships, but also in the parts department. We have a ton of you who listen to us in Georgetown, Kentucky, where that plant is that had to be shut down for a couple of days, and so I know what all of you are going through. And there's big concern over how big of a black eye is this going to be for the company. And what about the stock? Who better to talk about such things with than our pal, financial guru here on ATN, Saul Albaum. Hello, Saul.
Hey, Kate. Hey, thanks for having me.
You heard what I said about Toyota, and the stock has been down. It took a big beating. I think it went down when all this stuff started happening, like 16%, almost 20%. Well, do you think that levels out, or it just depends, everybody watching to see what they do?
Well, right now it's trading at about 71.5, down from about 140. And I seem to remember it back at like 180, but it was down dramatically due to lost sales. And you know what? This is a great lesson for everybody, and that is, you know what? In the end, you do the right thing, and Toyota should get punished for it. Its stock's down. Its shareholders are suffering. And, no, I see Toyota coming back. I see them learning from their mistakes and putting the group together. I think that they did a mea culpa. They said it was our fault. They didn't try to deny it. And, after being pulled to task by the Congress, they got slapped around a little bit. And they'll recover revenues. The big three here in the U.S. are still having problems. They still have outrageous bills they have to pay. They're effectively owned by the government, and they're nothing more than kind of off balance sheet health insurance plans for people. It's a way that we can just give health insurance and jobs to people. Yeah. So, no, they're going to recover. China, they'll get into China. Toyota will. And no, the stock will rise.
All right. So having said that, their stock goes up. What about what's going on with mortgages? I just read something today, and I'm not surprised by this because I've talked to a lot of people in the housing sector and knew that, you know, we had just really seen the beginning of the mortgage fallout in this last year and a half, but 25% of mortgages are underwater. That's incredible, Saul. That's certainly in my lifetime, in your lifetime, that's the highest number we've ever seen. This has to bounce back for things, I think, economically to recover, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. And we talked about this last time for a little bit, about a month ago. And, you know, the thing is it's going to take a long while, and we're still not – we're doing, you know, I used to come on the show years ago, and I would talk about stocks, bonds, and you notice how I'm just talking about government policy instead of stocks and bonds, right?
Yeah.
And then you ask me about a stock, and then I say, well, and I always have to preempt it with what the government is doing, which is like absolutely the wrong answer. I shouldn't have to really ever talk about the government, but unfortunately, we're about 2 years of housing inventory. 90% of apartment complexes are now being funded by the government via Fannie Mae. It's supply and demand. We have too much housing. The prices are going to continue to fall. Case-Shiller's just put out their index, okay? Now, here's the thing. This is what you're going to learn on ATN that you won't learn anywhere else. According to the Case-Shiller Housing Index, it showed a rise, saying that, hey, housing prices are up. But you know what? That is seasonably adjusted. That's where the statisticians play with the numbers to smooth it out. So it's like they kind of take from the bottom and add to the top. Well, guess what? In reality, in the last 3 months, housing continued to fall in the top 40 markets in the U.S. The last 3 months, it's just the statisticians playing around with it. So we're going to continue to see housing prices fall for the next year, and probably around, you know, in a year from now, you'll ask me the same question. I'll say, you know, maybe now we could start looking at picking up housing. Plus, you've noticed, remember Bernanke and the Fed started raising interest rates, right?
Yes.
So when
yeah.
interest rates go up, it makes it more expensive to buy houses and businesses and everything else. With our deficits, taxes are going to have to go up too, and we're going to see a bigger draw. The banking regulators came out and said another 700 banks are in trouble.
Another 700 banks are in trouble now.
Another. And we still have another $1.8 trillion that needs to be financed in the commercial real estate market. We got some serious issues ahead. So go ahead, Kate.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. I was going to ask you about that. And with the banks, I mean, certainly the banks at the risk of blowing up is more bleak news, and you see that with the stocks. I mean, it was a bad day on Wall Street if we just looked at today, and that all has to do with the confidence again, and it also has to do with consumers. So we go back to the same thing that we've seen. We had a terrible dip a couple of weeks ago. It's like riding a roller coaster, but you and I have both said this. When you've come on the show, you said this, and I've said the same thing. You really have to remember that when you're talking about just individual stocks, you are sitting over a craps table no matter what, and you have to pay attention as to what's happening across the board on these indexes, like the S&P 500 lost 13 points today.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, you know, it's so risky nowadays with problems. You know, we never get a chance to talk about what stocks we think are going to go up, but today I thought – one, we have to talk about Japan just for a second,
mm-hmm.
and then two, we can talk about a stock instead of going up. We can talk about stocks actually going down too. So mm-hmm. let me give your listeners two stocks, because you can make money on stocks going up and going down. When stocks go down, you sell short. You can ask talk to your financial advisor about that. And one of them is ticker symbol SEED. It's a bio company out of China, and it is not profitable. There's questionable regulations with it, and it has about $700 million worth of its Chinese dollars in debt with a falling revenues, and again, potential regulatory problems. That's a big one. Okay. Another one is Life Partners. That one's actually out of Waco, Texas, a little close to home here. They have some big regulatory problems too. Potential regulatory problems under the radar. So there's ways you can make money on the short. And also a big issue. Another one just came across my desk again is Japan. A lot of your listeners may be hearing about Greece and what's going on there. That's just a sideshow. That's just like a little firecracker to the potential bomb that's going to go off with Japan, Kate.
Oh, so Japan, we're going to see the same thing happening with the Japanese, obviously, with some stuff that they did that's going to turn them upside down, is what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, I mean, we're talking orders of magnitude greater than Greece. Remember we talked about that, it's about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, and you heard it here first on ATN. And don't forget, Greece worked with Goldman Sachs. You may have saw this. I actually read the prospectus of the deal. They were hiding $5 billion off their books. Like not a company, not like Enron. Literally, the country of Greece was hiding $5 billion. So Japan's in huge trouble. About 60% of their deficit this year, or of their expenditures for their government came in through debt, meaning that they spent 100 trillion yen through their government, and 60 trillion of it was funded through debt. Literally, their budget deficit was 60% of their revenues, and it's only getting worse because their savings rates are falling. So right now, they're literally the Japanese people are now down to a 2% savings rate. Do you remember back we always said the Chinese country and the Japanese were always really good savers?
Yes.
Well, that's over. They ran out of money. So they're down to 2% savings rate. So once that happens, interest rates are going to go up from nothing, which is in Japan, to high. And right now, can you guess what the Japanese pay on average just on interest alone? It's 20 to 25% just interest
alone.
You're
kidding. I would have never said that number. 20 to 25%.
Yeah, depending on the year. That's right. Now that's low because their rates are so low. But when interest rates rise, but think of it. If you're paying 25% of your budget at 1%, because they're lowest in the world, 1%.
Sure. Nothing.
If it doubles to 2%, that means they pay 50% of their government into debt. Yeah, that's going to blow up real soon. And you heard it here first on ATN.
Oh, what a note to end on, Saul. I'm going to pick that up next time. We'll watch where that goes. Thanks so much for joining us and filling us in on those great nuggets. Stay with us, everybody.
As the economy continues to decline, patriots across the nation are preparing for the worst. The world is changing fast. Are you fully prepared? Or will you be forced to eat government soup? At PatriotFood.com, we offer you 135 pounds of dehydrated food and 6 varieties of canned meat for half price. And at SurvivalistSeeds.com, we now offer 50 non-GMO varieties of vegetables and over 10,000 heirloom seeds. That's twice as many as our competition for the same price. PatriotFood.com and SurvivalistSeeds.com. Food insurance, just in case. Owned by me, Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me radio show.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
For men who want intimacy and pleasure back in their life, it's not a question of if, but when. So men, when you want the spark back in your love life, when you want to bring back intimacy, when you want to please the special woman in your life, use Mojo Ryzen. Mojo Ryzen is a safe, revolutionary herbal sexual formula for men that combines ancient Chinese school of thought and modern science to significantly support stamina, performance, and pleasure. Mojo Ryzen is a proven 100% natural product that works the first time, every time. Mojo Ryzen works even after consuming alcohol. Mojo Ryzen will not give you unwanted side effects. Mojo Ryzen will allow you to give give your partner what they deserve. Try just 3 capsules of Mojo Ryzen, and if not completely satisfied, send back the remainder for a full refund. Buy Mojo Ryzen at mojo-radio.com. That's mojo-radio.com. Or call toll-free 1-877-330-1120. That's 1-877-330-1120. Go big, go strong with Mojo Ryzen all night long.
A revolution in smoking is underway. A revolution all smokers of traditional cigarettes should know about. Keep listening for a special offer from PowerVapor.com. Standard tobacco cigarettes contain over 4,000 harmful chemicals. Now it's time to release yourself from the grip of big tobacco and experience true smoking freedom. PowerVapor.com is an e-cigarette with the look, feel, and smoke of a real cigarette, but with no tar, no carbon monoxide, and no bad odors. Power Vapor's e-cigarettes deliver just the right amount of nicotine in a water vapor that looks and feels like real smoke. Yes, you choose from 4 levels of nicotine, and that puts you back in control. Plus, you'll enjoy 8 flavors and big savings over traditional cigarettes. Get the facts and see our demonstration video at PowerVapor.com. That's PowerVapor.com. Log on to PowerVapor.com right now for a special 10% discount and 30-day money-back guarantee. PowerVapor.com, the smoking gun heard round the world.
Global meltdowns, massive unemployment, endless wars, a new currency crisis, financially and morally bankrupt. A great and terrible storm is approaching. So what's the best way to get ready? To get prepared for hard times ahead. Introducing Off the Grid News, a weekly newsletter for independent patriots who want practical advice on how to survive and prosper in an increasingly dangerous world. It's the best way to get a black belt in emergency preparedness, survival skills, and off-the-grid living. Off the Grid News is fiercely independent, all about self-reliance, and packed with helpful information on survival gardening, food preparation, alternative energy, herbal medicines, privacy and security, as well as God, gold, and guns, with absolutely no apologies. And the best part? This $100 a year service is now free of charge for our listeners. That's right, free for our listeners who sign up at offthegridnews.com. That's offthegridnews.com. You can sign up for free at offthegridnews.com. Offthegridnews.com.
Testifying on Wednesday, so we'll have more on the upswing of the money matters. Great information from Saul Album as he was telling us about the mortgage index and the housing index, the Case-Shiller index that came out on the rise, but how they can manipulate those numbers because interest rates are certainly going up. That means the price of houses will be going up, and yeah, it's a sticky situation, especially depending on the location, location, location. Isn't it always location? But some of the premium pieces of real estate have really taken a tumble, and I think it's going to still take them a while to turn that around. Hey, we haven't forgotten about Olympics. We'll jump to the Olympics, too, here on ATN. I watched Bodie Miller. He was out of medal contention for the giant slalom. You could tell he was just out of breath, and he muffed up on a couple of gates, although he recovered nicely. So there was no medal to be had for him this time around. But that's just a little preview on some of the things that happened. We'll get to the medal count coming up here in a few minutes on America Tonight. In the meantime, I think this is a giant story that a lot of people thought would happen, but it didn't really pop out because there weren't enough. There was a lot of conversation about banning the public release of 911 calls. A lot of people talking about that, but nothing ever was done. In other words, there wasn't a lot of legal things that were done. There weren't a lot of actions taken in different states. Well, now this is changing because, for example, in Montgomery, Alabama, and I guess this is what started the push for the possible ban on the public release, concerned that, you know, maybe the release of the audio tapes will make people less willing to phone in. You had a situation in Alabama where a woman called 911 and screamed, "Oh God," over and over and over again, finding her daughter beaten to death, sadly, in the driveway of their North Carolina home Later that day, ooh, that is rough, she heard her voice, heard that recording on the local news, and couldn't be more distraught, because obviously it was painful what happened and what she arrived to find, and then to hear not very long afterwards her voice and the shock in her voice and hear that being pumped out on the local news and the local radio stations. Now, because of situations like that, in Alabama, Wisconsin, and Ohio, they're actually deciding whether or not to bar the 911 calls, don't release any of them. Missouri, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Wyoming already keep them private. So whether it's a celebrity, whether it's the person next door, or whatever the situation is, that's not released. Mostly, states consider emergency calls public, public records, so they make it available on request. That's why you hear, like, Charlie Sheen's wife, he has a knife at my throat and whatever. And usually it tends to be someone famous, or something horrific has happened, and then you hear the 911 call nationally, and you may hear it locally, too. Now there is this concern about releasing the audio tapes where it's not something incredibly newsworthy. It's not buildings flying into planes, some kind of terrorist event or whatever, but it's just that whole locally people trying to sensationalize things, I guess. So there's a concern that people won't be willing to call 911. Now, the problem is if you don't release the recordings, it does take away a tool that has also been able to expose botched calls. So somebody screws up. Do you remember that? I remember talking about this on the air. There was a dispatcher in Detroit, I guess 4 years ago or so, who actually yelled at a five-year-old boy for playing on the phone while his mother was unconscious. When the cops arrived, the mother had died, and he wasn't playing on the phone. He knew to dial the number and get help, and the operator didn't respond correctly. And then there was the call, and this has happened a few times, but there specifically was one a couple of years ago in Memphis where a 911 operator said, "What's your emergency?" then fell asleep. So there is two sides to this argument of the 911 calls. I can see the woman in Alabama, how horrible that was, but I can also see that botched calls would be exposed, which then would put pressure on the operators in that area or the people hiring the operators to make sure that they respond correctly. What do you think? 800-259-5791. My thought is to keep it public for now because of the botched calls. I think you got to keep it public at this point and risk it that, sadly, some of the phone calls shouldn't even be on the air. Sam is listening to us in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
How many people sent emails telling me not to quit my day job?
No, actually, you got a lot of kudos for what you did because you came on and you paid up. And, in fact, I posted, or we were supposed to, I don't know, I didn't check. We were supposed to post a little bit of that on the website, you singing the Star Spangled Banner. So, no, I didn't. We got good phone calls, so it wasn't negative.
Oh, okay. That's cool. That's
yes.
Cool.
Hey, your girl in figure skating, I actually watched her skate, and, oh, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. Boy, they were applauding her. And, of course, it was the woman that you mentioned where her mother died.
Right.
And how sad was that? And the last that I saw, she was third in the event.
She still is.
Oh, good, good.
She still is. Like I said, I was just wondering, maybe she got a couple of sympathy votes. You know, I was thinking maybe a couple of sympathy votes, but honestly, I don't know that much about figure skating. And believe me, I was crying.
She didn't get them.
Yeah, I was crying, too.
Yeah.
And, yeah, she was kudos for it, and she might have a shot at a medal.
I know. Wouldn't that be terrific if she gets a medal? Because for her, that was an incredible performance.
Yeah.
I listened to the commentators. Yeah. And while she's a solid skater, she'd never posted those kind of marks. And I don't think she would get sympathy. The figure skating world is tough. Anything, that a lot of times people complain that they don't like the way that they're judging certain things and what they're taking points off for.
Right.
But, hey, she was flawless. And can you imagine? I can't imagine your mother. You're an only child. You're incredibly close to your mother. This is an exciting moment for you. And she dies before you even do your event. So you have to decide, am I going to go on and do the event and hear my mother's just died? That's got to be rough.
Right. In fact, they even showed her father, and he was,
yes,
he was doing some crying too. And towards the end, they showed her walking off, and she was, you know, like crying big time. I think she was just, you know, and then a couple of cameramen wanted to follow her, and they basically told them, and I'll clean up the language, get out, you SOBs.
Yeah, instead of following her, yeah. I saw that too.
Yeah, I mean, like, have a little sympathy for her. Now, if by some fluke Canada and the U.S. meet in the gold medal final.
It's on again. We'll make that same bet. How would you like to perfect your version
USA
of the Star Spangled Banner?
USA! USA!
Well, we did win a gold medal today.
But, well, how about you did win a gold medal. That was in the skiing event, the ski jumping event.
What they call ski cross?
Yeah, she was good. I watched that too.
Yeah. And she's from a... Yeah, and, well, she grew up in Whistler, so, I mean, for her, she knows every inch of that mountain. So, you know, in a way, I know we're not going to win the podium. I'm looking, and I'm overall satisfied with the way, you know, with the way Canada's doing at these Olympics. And there's another ice sport where everyone expects us to win a gold medal.
The dancing? What?
No, curling.
You already did. Oh, curling. Yeah.
And what I didn't like was the New York Daily News had an unofficial scientific, what sports to get rid of. And a lot of people said curling. And you know what? And a friend of mine who's a real avid curler said, let me guess, unless the Americans have a chance to win a gold medal, they keep it. Americans don't have a chance to win a gold medal in this sport, dump it.
Oh, please. Sam, how about baseball getting booted from the Olympics? There couldn't be anything more American.
Oh, yeah.
And I think baseball got booted because everybody was afraid that we dominated in baseball. Please.
And softball, too.
That's ridiculous. They shouldn't have been booted.
No. Well, unfortunately, because the next Summer Olympics are being held in London, so for them to build a baseball stadium, yeah.
That doesn't matter. It's still a viable sport that got screwed because other people in the world weren't as good as the Americans.
Or Cubans,
okay. If you want to throw that word, Latin Americans, if you want to throw that in there, yeah.
Or Latin Americans, just like some people want to get rid of women's hockey because there are only two countries that are good at it.
Yeah.
United States and Canada.
Yeah.
And Saturday, I forgot to tell you that Julie and I went to see the Tooth Fairy.
Oh, how was that? Somebody told me today they took their kids to see it and they said it was good.
Yeah, it was cute. I mean, the hockey scenes weren't that bad. And overall, I mean, like, I had to get used to the idea, like, Julie Andrews doing a movie like this, she's so well-respected. And then you see Billy Crystal and it's like, you could picture Billy Crystal's in a movie like that, but Julie Andrews, it was sort of like that. But overall, it wasn't such a bad movie.
Yeah, that's two votes for The Rock in that kind of a movie. He's good in those kid flicks, I guess.
Yeah, but you know what he said once? He was being interviewed about a movie. He said, this is the advantage of doing a movie against, you know, being in a wrestling ring. In a wrestling ring, you screw up, you get hurt. Here, I screw up, I just shoot the scene over again.
Yeah, there you go.
My prediction for tomorrow night, I hate to be a worrywart, Russia 6, Canada 1. I think the Russians are really going to pepper our goal, who's ever in nets.
Whoever they decide to put in the nets for Canada?
Yeah.
Okay, so you say the Russians are going to get them. I think you're probably right on that. For the Americans, you know, it's going to be Switzerland.
Okay. I know you beat them 3-1 in the preliminary round, but, you know, this is another round, so who knows what might happen.
Yeah, and they're dangerous. I agree with you. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see if the Canadians meet the Americans, but I think that's a tall order. Thanks, Sam. Coming up on the flip side, we have Bad Boys. Yep, this is a good one, too, and it does have to do with a sports figure. Hang through.
Phew. Is it safe to breathe anymore?
Crowded public places, global pandemics, and news reports of potential new strains of bacteria and viruses make you wonder, what if there was a germ-killing nasal spray that acted almost like hand sanitizer for your nose? There is. It's called Sinofresh Homeopathic Nasal Spray, and it's a proven germ killer. Sinofresh is a revolutionary doctor-recommended nasal spray that kills a broad spectrum of viruses, bacteria, molds, and fungi on contact in your nose. Sinofresh causes no drug interactions, no loss of smell, no rebound congestion, contains no alcohol, is non-habit forming, and is safe for daily use. Sinofresh must be a part of your family survival plan. Go to GCNlive.com now and click on the Sinofresh banner. The first 1,000 customers to click on the Sinofresh banner and purchase Sinofresh antiseptic nasal spray are instantly registered to win a free 24-bottle case. Go to GCNlive.com and click on Sinofresh. Breathe free. Breathe safe. Use Sinofresh. It works.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Is garlic the absolute best defense against the threat of bacterial and viral pandemics? No. The answer is Ali-C from your AliStore.com. Ali-C was developed by a British chemist who found a way to stabilize the allicin in garlic and incorporate it into his flagship product, Ali-C. It's the strongest and safest antibiotic known to man. Ali-C makes garlic supplements obsolete. Get Ali-C today from your AliStore.com. That's your A-L-L-I-Store.com. Your AliStore.com. No home should be without Ali-C.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The latest with them, since Jay Leno promos are back on the air, talking about the fact that he is resuming the Tonight Show. So what's happening with Conan O'Brien? Boy, the war between the two of them was a lot of fun to watch, I have to admit. But the real bad boy is Tony Kornheiser. He's been suspended from ESPN over some comments he made about TV anchor Hannah Storm, who now, of course, works for ESPN for the past, I guess she's in her second year with ESPN, coming off of the CBS morning show. What he said on his radio show last week is he was ripping her for what he called her horrifying, horrifying outfit on SportsCenter. He's the guy who does Pardon the Interruption, if you're not familiar with ESPN. And he said specifically, because I got to tell you the whole comment, that she's Hannah Storm is in a horrifying, horrifying outfit today. She's got on red go-go boots and a Catholic school plaid skirt. Way too short for somebody in her 40s or maybe her early 50s by now. She's got on her typically very, very tight shirt. She looks like she has sausage casing wrapping around her body. I know she's very good, and I'm not supposed to be critical of ESPN people, so I won't. But Hannah Storm, come on now. Stop. What are you doing? She's what I would call a Holden Caulfield fantasy at this point. Wow. So then, this is so typical. He has to come back. This is what everybody has to eat crow. He has to come back and apologize and say, I'm sorry, I apologize. And they decided that he's going to be suspended for some time from Pardon the Interruption. Since they're both on the same network, and I'm sure that she freaked out on this, they had to do something. And you remember the things that have happened with ESPN lately with Steve Phillips. And there was the girl that he was fooling around with, and that was a young production assistant, and he got fired. He flat out ended up getting fired for his relationship with her because she was claiming that she was being sexually harassed even. And there have been so many questionable calls at ESPN. Here's the deal. It's like a massive locker room with 50, it's like every man's fantasy with 50,000 dishes in the middle of nowhere in Connecticut. What do you think you're going to get when you put all those people in that box there? Are they surprised by this? I happen to see the pictures, and I have to agree with Kornheiser, though. It was ridiculous. She did look funny. Her outfit was, her outfit was way over the top. And he ripped on it. He made comments about it. And in one way, that's part of the deal of sports radio, a.k.a. man talk, I guess, in some circles. You sort of have to be able to take it because people bust each other. Or they call it play in the dozens. Guys certainly do that to each other if you've ever listened to Mike and Mike or any of the other shows. But was this a fair thing for him to do? I mean, ESPN, they had to suspend him. There's no question. Like I said, because of their track record and the fact that she's there in that studio. But then you start to wonder, well, you know, you take what's said on radio and what he's got like sort of free form radio and what all the other people would talk about and what they would say. And is that a fair call? What do you think, Matt?
Making me jump into the bee's nest here, huh?
Sweet, do it. You saw the pictures. I mean, let's just be flat out honest. You saw the pictures of her.
I don't think she looked all that good, so I don't know.
She didn't look good in the photo. She didn't.
He shouldn't have said it, but at the same time, it's not like he wasn't being honest.
Well, that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. Other guys, they bust each other in half on the air. If you listen to the ESPN guys, especially the ones on the radio, and then some of them do TV things, hey, they do that. That's part of the shtick. It's part of the game.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I've seen the pictures of her, and I know I watch PTI a lot, so I know a lot about Kornheiser, and he's got a certain style to him. Mm-hmm. About, it's not really no holds barred, but he does kind of take jabs at people, and that's just his style. And I think she's kind of taking it a little too, or I don't know if it's her or ESPN, whoever it is that's making this decision. And maybe it's like she felt bad, so she's bringing it to their attention. I don't know, but I think they're going a little overboard.
Well, I think a lot of people called. I heard from somebody that a lot of people called ESPN and complained, which is what could happen because there she is anchoring a show and all that sort of stuff. And because they're worried about, you know, they had the Aaron Andrews thing with the sick peeping Tom, but that had nothing to do with anybody at ESPN. She just happened to be.
We were talking about this off air. They had Harold Reynolds. They had Sean Salisbury.
Absolutely.
They had Steve Phillips.
And what happened to all those guys?
They're all canned.
They're all fired. So because they have that, they fired all of them, it's not surprising that they would do that to him. But what would have been interesting is, I mean, Kornheiser, look, he's nothing to look at. And he doesn't dress like he's some Tom Ford model. She could have easily kind of ripped him back, you know, did a segment on it.
Right.
And they could have kind of made it that deal. They could have gone with that.
Played
like,
with
hey,
it a
how
bit.
Right? How you know he's talking about? Hey, look at my figure. Hey, I got the figure to dress like that or whatever, and then show stuff of him and rip him to shreds. I mean, she could have come back that way.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Dana Jacobson, another ESPN sportswoman. She got suspended when she was I can't remember what it was, but something with the Notre Dame, the touchdown Jesus, with her and Mike Golick going back and forth. And I think that was another case where ESPN went kind of overboard, and she got suspended, too, for that.
Yes, and I thought that was I thought that was ridiculous just because she made the comment, which touchdown Jesus is a very familiar figure on the Notre Dame campus. It's what they're talking about.
And they were ribbing each other back and forth about
exactly,
it.
Exactly, exactly. Well, they have to decide what they are. If you're going to be an all-boys network and you're going to do the, I call it guy talk, that's what it is. If you're going to do that and then the women who there are going to do that, then it has to be, you have to be able to push the boundaries. Or you, I don't think you can do what you're hired to do. To me. I don't know. Some of you listening might disagree and you might have no idea what we're talking about. If you have an internet, go to the internet and Google Hannah Storm and you can see, I think the pictures of her are up there. And it was just a question. Now, this could be at a workplace where somebody comes in, dresses provocatively, or something's a little off, and somebody busts the person's chops. And some women would shoot right back, or they're friends with the people. It's not a big deal. Other people would file a sexual harassment claim. So in this case, because of how ESPN is, I don't think it's surprising that they would suspend him. All right, I mentioned the other thing quickly. Jay Leno goes back on the air after the Olympics, and he's going to have a lot of Olympians on his first shows back. He's going to have a lot of actors, too, as well, just kind of picking up the ball and pretending nothing happened. Okay, well, I'm back again doing the show, doing the Tonight Show, and that's that. And as for Conan O'Brien is actually going, and he's even going to have Sarah Palin on, too. That would be interesting. Conan O'Brien is taking his act to the stage. He's planning to come back on the stage. And, like, a series of things at Rockefeller Center, you know, where the Rockettes dance. And he certainly could do an open mic kind of forum. And he should do it probably as fast as he can because he's not allowed on TV until September. But his NBC non-compete clause doesn't rule out anything on the stage. So he's going to do a bunch of live theatrical shows is what they're being described as. And Conan, I guess, is possibly moving to Fox. They're talking about the possibility that that will really happen once he's out of the phase where, you know, the non-compete is up. He might take stage elements and elements from his TV shows, include some of his Tonight staff and whatnot. But I bet you in some cities from California to New York, he would really pack them in. And as for Jay Leno, the speculation is, even with some of the people that weren't great fans of Jay Leno, that his audience will come back and he'll pretty much end up right where he was before. Certainly from the guest booking standpoint, he picked up pretty fast as he's got a strong stable of people coming on, including Mel Gibson and Sarah Palin, and like I mentioned, the Flying Tomato and those athletes from the Winter Olympics, too, as well. All right, if you want to send me your thoughts, you can do that at americatonight.net.
Is this a business decision or is it personal? Because if it's business, I'll go away happily. But if it's personal, I'll go away. But I won't be happy. It's personal.